Chris Lightning with Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine at NHL.com. He joins us as always. Woodley, how you doing?
I'm good. Cringing a little bit at that Mrazek goal, but...
Yeah, buddy, he's been standing on his head. The rest of the game shouldn't even be close.
But this is what you get with Peter Mrazek, and this is what you see in his year last year. He is a guy who has the ability to be spectacular. He's got all that sort of, you know, Gumby-like flexibility. He's explosive laterally. He's got great hands. And yet he plays a style that has a lot more movement in it. And that's going to leave you a little prone to some of the ups and downs that we've seen kind of in his career last season. Although, you know, I've heard that maybe there was a tweaked knee that kind of aided in his downfall. What is his numbers pre-All-Star break last year were 932, and after the All-Star break, 899 in terms of save percentage. So, you know, whether it's a style that requires you to be 100% physically, and he wasn't, or a style that is just going to rely a little more on rhythm and timing, he's a guy that I think consistency may be an issue for him long term. I mean, I liked the, you can call it a whiff on the Zuccarello goal, but I love the replay that Sportsnet showed from behind the net. And you can see, again, this is flow, this is rhythm, this is timing. This is a guy who backs in straight lines against the rush back to his post. And so because he's not squaring as Zuccarello comes down that wing, because he's just kind of flowing back in a straight line, he's not square as that shot comes. And so, yeah, he misses with his glove, but he hasn't got his body rotated in square, so he gives himself a chance for that puck to go off him and through him. And those are the little observations that we make, that goalie coaches make, that I hope teams make when they look at style and try and figure out what's more likely to be consistent. And I would argue that Mrazek is a guy who, again, capable of incredible highs, but because he leaves himself so much more reliant than, say, a Michael Neuwirth on timing and rhythm, you're going to have those oops moments, more of them, I would suggest, than a guy who has a little more technical and structured approach to his positioning.
Kevin Woodley joins us. Now, I know you're a big fan of Neuwirth, and I think he was your choice for maybe breakout goalie this season. Now, it's one game, and people are like, oh, my goodness, he looked terrible, but kind of overwhelmed in that game. The entire team, It's only one game for a goalie. I don't know if you can ever read too much into it.
Oh, I mean, especially that game. I mean, you know, I tweeted during that game that, second period, I was exhausted just watching Michael Neuwirth. And, you know, he's a goalie who on the other end of the spectrum compared to Mrazek, and that's what makes him, you know, such an interesting dynamic and such an interesting choice for the Czech Republic coaches is, you know, you don't just have two good goalies. You've got two totally opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of how you play the position. And I would be curious to see a goalie like Mrazek in that game against Canada. As much as he's all over the place, I'd imagine he would be exhausted by that game. I was tired watching Neuwirth, and he plays an efficient game. So I would not judge him by that contest. It kind of reminded me of a beer league game in a lot of ways. I was blown away by the pace and the puck movement of Canada in that game. It was breathtaking at times. And as a goalie, you just sympathize for Neuwirth at the other end because there's just no way to keep up with it. Even as a guy who moves as little as possible, just the way he plays, playing a little deeper in his net and a bit of a more efficient style, it was just tough, hard to imagine. So certainly wouldn't judge him by it, and I certainly wouldn't. As a matter of fact, I thought he made some pretty good saves just to keep it 6-0. So I still like him as a breakout guy this year. I think Mason at times is underrated in Philadelphia, and that's a defense that can give you nights like what he saw from Team Canada in terms of defensive support. But there's a lot of things about his game that have always been good, and there's a bit of a biomechanical change that he made last summer. Watched a lot of film of himself making saves, and he's always had active hands. He's always had hands out in front of him. But what he recognized when he went through the video footage in slow motion is that when he dropped to the ice, he pushed with his knees and pulled his hands back into his body. This ties in a little bit to some of the head trajectory stuff we've mentioned. But what that does is you kind of lose sight of the puck when the knees go first and the head and the hands and the torso all pull up and away from the puck. The puck kind of gets underneath your sight of vision. So what he concentrated on two summers ago is keeping those hands forward, leading with the head in his save execution. And what he found, mostly with the focus on the hands, what he found is, wow, I can see the puck longer. And so I don't think it's a coincidence that he had the season he had last year. He was spectacular in the playoffs, and despite the six goals he gave up the other night, I still think he's a guy that's going to have a great season in Philadelphia.
What are your thoughts on now we see the tracking on the jerseys for, you know, the players, and it shows how fast they're skating and different things. And I've been told they have it on the goalies, Kevin. I haven't seen any data on the goalies, but you know, that's likely something for that position that you could glean even more information from. What's your expectations? What are you hearing on what the tracking devices on the jerseys will show for goalies?
Well, just that, like you said, that they have them in the goalie jerseys and nothing beyond that. But I'm with you. I'm kind of dying to see what we see as a result of that. I mean, we just mentioned Mrazek and Neuvirth as two guys who play the game in very different ways. I'd love to see how much more over the course of 60 minutes Peter Mrazek moves versus Michael Neuvirth. I'd like to see, especially if it can be plotted directly on the ice and show you where he is in the crease, how much more time he spends even outside of the blue ice or around the edges of it compared to a Michael Neuvirth. Jonathan Quick compared to pretty much everybody else. Those are the types of things that I'd like to see, not just in terms of style-wise and are they as aggressive as we think they are. I think actually Jonathan Quick is a guy who's got this label of, as being hyper-aggressive, and yet when I watched film on him last year, he took a noticeable step back in his crease. He's not as aggressive as he was. He's, from what I understand, a little more conscious of the wear and tear over a year that playing the way he used to can have, and he's backed off a little bit. So I'd like to see that information in terms of where they play and just how much that forces them to move. My guess is the guys who play further out end up moving more and significantly so by the end of a game, and you know, then you can start to think about, you know, wear and tear, especially going back to their NHL seasons. You know, is a Peter Mrazek more likely to wear out by the end of a year compared to a Michael Neuvirth, and what does that mean in terms of workload and what their teams should do in terms of managing a number one and number two situation. So there's a lot of information there. They're not going to be huge, right? I mean, the difference between the, you know, heels out, as we call it, or having the heels of your skate outside the blue ice versus toes in and having them, you know, always having blue ice in front of your skates, and we're talking about a foot to 2 feet. But you add 2 feet to every movement from the top of your crease to the back of your post over the course of a game, and I think that can add up, and I'd be really curious to see just how big a difference it is at the end of the night.
Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com joins us. A few things. Henrik Lundqvist, early on, you know what, you didn't see Lundqvist, you know, there's some question marks. People now, I know they're just saying it's the flu, but he hasn't looked very good. What do you, if you're Sweden, would you look at going with Markstrom over Lundqvist in this tournament?
That's a tough one. The knee-jerk reaction, and actually what I wrote in the preview, is no. I mean, it is Henrik Lundqvist's crease to give up. He is, you know, he has been throughout his career, you know, the most consistent goaltender in the NHL throughout his career. And up until the past couple of years with Carey Price kind of taking the mantle, you could have argued he was the top goaltender in the NHL. So, and a lot of people still think he's capable of being the number two guy in the NHL. So the idea of, you know, replacing him with, you know, a Jacob Markstrom, who looked very good the other night, but, you know, has a .900 career save percentage in the NHL, seems absurd. And yet Henrik is a goaltender who has struggled traditionally early in seasons throughout his career. Now, he reversed it last year. He was very good out of the gates with the Rangers. But throughout his career, that's been a problem. And we see him struggle in the pre-tournament games. We see him kind of get lit up by Team Europe in his last pre-tournament game. And we have a team in Sweden that might not need spectacular to win this thing. They're so good defensively, and we saw it again the other night. They've got arguably the best defense in this tournament. Do they need spectacular to win, or would a goaltender like Markstrom, who has kind of developed a much better approach in the past 2 years under the Canucks, a much more neutral approach, where he's a big body that takes up a ton of net, and early in his career he played way more aggressively than he needed to, and so when you make a big body move, and arguably he did it to himself, he forced himself to move so much because he was so aggressive, that opens up a lot of holes. he's changed that in his game. So you watch him the other day, and he was just in position most of the night, and that's all he had to be. He's so big that you might not need spectacular from him. Just a guy who's not going to make a mistake, a guy who's always going to keep himself in the middle of the net and take up most of it courtesy of his size. You wonder if Sweden couldn't win with that. And when you see how much Lundqvist struggled early, I don't think there's any chance they make that switch. But if Henrik is in there, I think it's tomorrow night against the Finns and struggles, now you've got a real question being asked. And, you know, given his history and given this team may not need vintage Lundqvist to win, I think it would be a fair question.
Yeah, it's just something to look at. It's in a short tournament, and, you know, Markstrom, it's interesting. I saw Jim Benning in Vancouver today come out and say, without a doubt, Ryan Miller is the number one goalie. And I'm kind of like, I'm not sure I would make that statement if I was the GM looking at the last year of Ryan Miller, how he's played, and, you know, what they've got in Markstrom.
Yeah, you know, that's a tough one. A lot of people here in Vancouver would agree with you, and they would like to see more Markstrom. They'd like to see at worst a 50-50 split. And given the contract status after this year, with Miller being an unrestricted free agent and Markstrom having an extension kicking in, you'd think they'd want to work him towards more of a workload, prepare him for the opportunity to be number one the following year. That said, Miller was really good early last year for this team, and then he just wore out. So I think there's sort of an acceptance that, hey, Markstrom is going to play more. He was injured early last season, and that's why he didn't get an opportunity to play, and they just basically ran Miller into the ground because they didn't trust Richard Bachman. So I think they recognize that a rested Miller is a better Miller for them, but they're clearly not quite willing to take the step to say anything other than he's their number one. And from a coaching standpoint, Willie Desjardins is a guy who has, throughout his career, liked to run with his number one guy. And I don't see that changing. Even last year, when they were splitting starts, when the season was over, he split Miller and Markstrom evenly back and forth. And to me, that's the way to do it if you've got two number one guys. Remove all the win-and-you're-in pressure and just go back and forth. When he was asked about that late last season, I asked him, as a matter of fact, he said, you know, it was working great, but pretty much admitted he's a coach that likes to have a number one guy and likes to run with a number one guy. And so whether it's a challenge for Markstrom to come take it from Miller, or this is just the pecking order and it's not going to change unless performances, you know, swing wildly enough to dictate it, I'm not sure. But I kind of think that it may be more the latter, and that, you know, they really do see Ryan Miller as their number one, and, you know, that may end up being a 50-30 split. I don't know that that's the best thing long-term, but that may be what you're looking at in Vancouver this season.
Kevin Woodley from InGoal Magazine and NHL.com joins us. Kevin, one last one. Finland goaltending, Pekkarinen, Tuukka Rask. If you're the Finns in a big game against the Swedes, who do you go with?
I same guy I said I'd go with in my preview for the NHL.com. And I love Pekkarinen, but it's Tuukka Rask. You got to kind of detach yourself from how much you like the person that Pekkarinen is and how good he was in his prime, and really take a good hard look at how he plays. He has always been, we talked about Mrazek, relying on athleticism and timing. Pekka's always played that way, made no apologies for it. But in the past couple of years, it's really showing up, whether statistically or anecdotally, in his performance. Even look at the playoffs last year, right? Like, he goes three straight games in the Anaheim series where it didn't look like he could stop anything, and the Ducks get right back into it, and then he shuts the door the final two, and Nashville moves on, and, you know, with a Game 7 win. Pekka is capable of both. You know, like Mrazek, capable of spectacular highs, but he relies so much on his athleticism, and arguably because he's so big, unnecessarily so, that he opens up holes, and, you know, he can look a little frantic. And so consistency for him, if you really look at the numbers, has been a problem, especially in the past 3 years. And for that reason, as much as Rask, too, has declined as the Boston defense has kind of abandoned him over the past couple of seasons, I still see him as a better option. They both play towards that end of the spectrum. When I talk about, you know, at one end you sort of have technical and positional, and the other end you have a lot more movement and rhythm and feel. Rask and Rinne are both towards that movement and feel end of the goaltending spectrum, but Tuukka a little less so. And frankly, when you look at the numbers, it's got to be Tuukka. Yet it doesn't seem like it's going to be. It looks like they're going to go back to Rene tomorrow night. And again, he is capable. Nothing to say he can't pitch like a 40-save shutout tomorrow night. But when you look at the goals that went in the other night, a lot of them are through him. And it's those extra movements and that extra reaching that opens up holes in that massive frame of his that cost him. And that's always going to be a part of his game. It doesn't seem like it's something that there's a real desire to change. He feels like he needs to play that athletic style to be at his best. And, you know, for me, it's not just a question for Finland, but, you know, it's a question for the Nashville Predators because, you know, again, they're a team that may be good enough to win without needing the spectacular, but it's hard to win when you get, you know, the opposite end of the spectrum. And right now there's too many nights that are like that for Pekka Rinne.
Kevin, as always, great stuff, man. We'll talk to you next Monday.
My pleasure.